Thank you for that introduction. Like I said, my name is Adam Whalen. I'm a PhD student at Mississippi State University, and I study under Dr. Angus Ketchot and Dr. Jeff Gore. And today I'll be talking to you about winter cover crop soybean systems and an entomological perspective. So the use of cover crops is an agronomic practice where grasses, legumes, and brassicas are used to cover the ground when the regular crops are not planted in the field. Most of these are planted in the winter months and are terminated before planting. So they're planted for many agronomic reasons, but they also provide habitat for wildlife and pollinators, and they can improve water quality. And according to the National Wildlife Federation, less than 2% of the cropland in the Mississippi River Basin is utilizing cover crops, but that percentage is increasing. So these pictures here just kind of depict some of the problems that cover crops are used to resolve. So in the far picture here, you can see water running through a field of rye, and that's preventing soil erosion. This top picture here, it's got a field grown up with weeds that are most likely herbicide resistant, and that's one of the big pushes for cover crops, is to cover these fields and prevent that early season weed emergence. And the final picture here is a picture of iron chlorosis. Nutrient leaching can be caused by lots of rainfall and other factors, and cover crops are used to prevent that. So when cover crops are being heavily promoted, not a lot of thought is put into how they might affect insect populations in these fields. And there's not much literature on that subject, but I was able to find a few sources about cover crops and pests. In Ohio, soybean cover crops, they led to increased seed corn maggot and slug infestations. Also in Ohio soybean, another year, bean leaf beetle and Japanese beetle populations that were increased. And then most recently, which sparked my research, in the Mississippi Delta and in Arkansas, there was a pea leaf weevil outbreak in 2014 when some seed treatment soybean trials were they were planted behind hairy vetch and Austrian winter peas, and just a devastating outbreak. And I'll have some pictures of that shortly. But the pea leaf weevil, Sotona lineatus, is a defoliating pest that's associated with soybean when following a winter legume cover crop. So these adult beetles, they're small gray-brown beetles, about 5 millimeters long. And the adults, they are defoliators. They feed on the leaves of legumes, and the larvae will feed under the soil in the nodules. So there are plenty of labeled insecticides for these, and they're easy to control, but they often can be difficult because throughout the growing season, they continue to emerge from that cover crop residue in the field. So neonicotinoid seed treatments can help prevent loss. So here's some pictures from those seed treatment trials in 2014. And you can see etching around the leaves from pea leaf weevil feeding. And these are plots that did not have any insecticide seed treatment control. And you can see that they were almost they were completely devastated. And that's the pea leaf weevil there in the bottom picture. Here's a popular press article just showing how Arkansas soybeans were also being affected by this weevil the same year. But not just pea leaf weevil, there's also some other early season pests in soybean that could also be affected by cover crops. There's soil insects like white grub, wireworms, lesser corn stalk borer, the three-corner alfalfa hopper, bean leaf beetle, thrips. So a lot of these pests are controlled by neonicotinoid seed treatments. A study was conducted by John North, and he analyzed all these seed treatment soybean tests from 2005 to 2014, and he was able to show an average 2-bushel increase. The last year sample was the year of that pea leaf weevil outbreak, and you can see it was almost a 38-bushel increase, that last one. So we know seed treatments are important, but we just don't know how they would play into a cover crop system. So we wanted to determine the efficacy of various chemical and cultural control practices on insect pests in soybean when they're following a cover crop. So we had two cover crop treatments. We had a cover crop blend that was tillage radish, Austrian winter pea, or hairy vetch, and then triticale. And then our other treatment was simply just the naturally occurring winter weeds. We had six chemical or cultural control treatments. There was the untreated, that was the seed was only treated with a fungicide. We had a termination spray of Karate Z, and that application was made when the cover crops were terminated and killed with a herbicide. We had a neonicotinoid seed treatment that was applied to the seed before planting. Then we combined that termination spray of Karate Z with the neonicotinoid seed treatment. We had an in-furrow insecticide application that was sprayed into the soil as the seed was planted that was capturing furrow. And then the one treatment was simply where we had a higher plant population. All our other treatments were planted at 110,000 seeds per acre, but this one was planted at 165,000. So these trials were planted into 8-row plots that were around 7.72 meters wide by 15.24 meters long. So the 12 treatment combinations were replicated 4 times and were planted in 2 Mississippi locations, and these were done in 2016 and 2017. So the cover crops were terminated 4 weeks prior to planting with a herbicide application of glyphosate. Soybean was planted in early May. So at the V3 growth stage, just a early vegetative growth stage in soybean, the crops were visually scouted for bean leaf beetle, three-cornered alfalfa hopper, and pea leaf weevil, and that was per 1 meter of row. And then at the end of the season, plots were harvested and yields recorded. So in this picture here taken by Dr. Ben Thrash, you can see some of the insects feeding in my plots. So pictured here are pea leaf weevils and 12-spotted cucumber beetles, and also there are some molted sheds from three-cornered alfalfa hopper nymphs. So when visually scouting, when looking at the per cropping system, we didn't see any difference between the cover crop for the bean leaf beetle. And when looking at the different control methods, there was also no difference. And on the y-axis is our visual counts per 1 meter of row, and then our treatments are on the x-axis. So when looking at three-cornered alfalfa hoppers, again, there's no difference between fallow plots and blended cover crop plots. But there was a significant difference with the control methods. We saw less in the neonicotinoid seed treatment than the untreated control, as well as the termination spray and the higher plant population. So this is pea leaf weevil, and it's no difference between the two cover crops. But for the control methods, there were significantly less in the higher plant population and the seed treatment, and the seed treatment plus Karate Z and the in-furrow. So there were the most in the untreated. So when we combined all these into an early season soybean insect complex and looked at them over the variables, there was no difference in the cover crop or the fallow plots. But there was a difference among the control methods. Untreated, we saw the most of these insects per meter of row. But with the seed treatment and the capture and furrow and the seed treatment plus the termination spray, there were significantly less of these insects observed. When looking at yield, there was no significant interaction between the cover crop and the control method in regards to mean soybean yield. We did not see a difference in yield among the cover crops versus the fallow plots. But for our control methods, over both cropping systems, we did see a significant increase in yield with the neonicotinoid seed treatment compared to the untreated control and the just the termination spray by itself. So in conclusion, there were significantly less insect pests observed in our neonicotinoid seed treatment plots than the untreated control plots. There was no significant interactions between cover crop and control method with regards to soybean yield. No significant difference in yields from fallow plots and cover plots. And the neonicotinoid seed treatment increased soybean yield regardless of cropping system. And one thing we think might have happened, we doubled our usual plot size for our small plot test to 8 rows compared to 4 rows, but we think that may have not been large enough, and there may have been some bleed over with these insects moving from plant to plant, and that may be why initially early in the season we did see some differences, but towards the end there wasn't, but with the cover crops there was no differences. These are my photo references. And with that, I'd like to thank Angus Ketchot and Jeff Gore, my advisors, Don Cook and Trent Irby on my committee, and Young Vow and Boise Stokes. Couldn't have done it without them, and my fellow graduate students and student workers. I'd like to thank the Mississippi Soybean Promotion Board for funding and Mississippi State University. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Any questions for the speaker?
Yes. Could you repeat that? I'm sorry. I think maybe the karate spray may have affected some beneficial insects, or just simply the seed treatment was what was driving that increase, and I don't know about it maybe decreasing yield, but it wasn't helping according to some of those comparisons. Yes. So we weren't able to quantify any soil insects, but that's something we're going to look into the future. We did have in another test, we have some pitfall trapping we've been doing, and we're going to also look into the soil on looking at different cover crops and with and without seed treatments.
Any other question? Thanks, Adam.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.